my work at all. I would just be trying to give an overview of a wide subject, which is the use of topological field theories to understand gap phases of matter. This technique has been very useful in recent years, so I wanted to introduce you to the technique. So, okay, and throughout my talk, I will just use acronyms for these two. So TFT and GPM. Okay. So now, so given a quantum system, we say it is gapped. If I look at the energy spectrum and I find that in the thermodynamic limit, the ground state and the spectrum of excited states, which can be discrete or continuous, has some gap. So there's some difference in the energy levels, which is non-zero. And in this talk, we are interested in systems which are defined on a lattice. So this is what we mean by the phrase matter over here. And these are gapped. And we want to study the properties of the system at low energies. So we want to study the ground states of this system. Now, in a local system, these properties are also the long distance properties of the system. So what do we mean by a gap phase of matter? So imagine that you have such a system. And suppose you can do some deformations. In a lattice system, there are gazillions of deformations that you can do. So I'm just condensing them into one line of deformations. So this is the deformations, and I'm parameterizing. I'm plotting the low energy states. So we have a ground state and an excited state. And I vary my parameters. So these will vary. And at some value of the parameter, they can cross each other. Or maybe they won't. So now, as long as I study physics below the gap, I will expect to see some universal characteristics. The theory describing this ground state should be the same, as long as I don't close the gap, and I study the system below the gap. But at this point, some sort of phase transition can happen. So this intuitive notion of universality is captured in the definition of gap phase of matter. So we say, this is a gap phase of matter, first gap phase of matter, and this is some other gap phase of matter. Okay, so now what is the connection with topological field theories? So this will turn out to be the theory which describes the universal properties of the ground states. So we want to study some long distance properties of the system. And because I'm at long distances, the lattice size does not matter. And I would expect that these properties are described by some continuum field theory. And so that means I expect that the theory of these ground states is some sort of quantum field theory. Now, I want to study the properties at low energy. So at low energies, we have some ground state. So there can be some vector space V of ground states. So let's say their energy is zero. So that means that there's no evolution, and the Hamiltonian for this theory will be zero. So now I want a quantum field theoretic description, so I just covariantize it. And the covariant form of Hamiltonian is the stress energy tensor. So I have a quantum field theory whose stress energy tensor is zero. So what does this mean? One definition of stress energy tensor in a quantum field theory is that it allows us to couple the quantum field theory to different background metrics. So this means that, let me review the statement. Suppose I have a quantum field theory defined on some manifold. This is a space-time manifold with some background metric, g mu nu, and I want to do a small deformation at a certain point. I want to change the metric by some delta g mu nu at a point x. Now, the statement is that this is equal to the same quantum field theory on the same background, but instead of doing this deformation, I insert an operator at this point, and the operator takes the form, the following form. So the response of our system to change in background metric is controlled by the stress energy tensor. And since it is zero, this quantity is one, we see that our quantum field theory does not depend on the background metric. So it only depends on the topological properties of the manifold. So we find that we are actually dealing with a topological field theory. Okay. So now, how can we use this fact that we are at low energies, the system is described by topological field theory, to do something concrete about the systems? Well, one possible application is that you use these topological field theories can often be studied in mathematical terms completely exactly. So you can try to classify these topological field theories, and in turn, you propose a classification for the gap phases of matter. Or you use the data of the topological field theory to say that this is the definition of the gap phase of matter. Okay, so let me give you an example of this application. Okay. So I want to study 1+1-dimensional gap phases of matter. And I want to see what this structure is like. Now, from what I have told you, I should be studying 2-dimensional topological field theories. And I will show you that these 2-dimensional topological field theories, the data of these theories can be captured in something, a mathematical object called commutative Frobenius algebra. So we can propose a classification of these gap phases of matter based on our intuitive arguments before. So we can propose that 1+1-dimensional gap phases of matter are classified by commutative Frobenius algebras. Okay, so how does this work? We want to study this object. This is a 2-dimensional field theory. So on a 1-dimensional manifold, it will have some space of states. So a 1-dimensional manifold is just a circle with an orientation. So I have a circle with a chosen orientation. There's some vector space associated to it. Let's say vector space V. These are my cats. And this is precisely the space of ground states of the gap phase. Okay. Now, to the oppositely oriented manifold, I assign, let me call it S1 bar. I assign the dual vector space. And these are the bras. Okay. And one final thing, suppose I have an empty space manifold. Then I assign to it just a 1-dimensional vector space, the complex numbers. Now, the reason for this will become clear, why I did that. Okay. Now, what is the data of this topological field theory? So these things are called transition amplitudes. So if I give you a list of transition amplitudes, I completely define the topological field theory. What do I mean by this is that I take some two-dimensional manifold. So let me draw it like this. I can have some holes inside it. It's some two-dimensional manifold, sigma, with some boundaries. So these are the places where I will insert my in states. And I have a manifold doing some transition into the out states. And the metric on the manifold does not matter, only the topological properties matter. So I have a vector space V attached to all of these ends. And this, the data of this transition amplitude is just a map from V tensor, V tensor, V. To V tensor, V. Let me say this in other words. Suppose I choose an in state. V tensor, V prime, tensor, V double prime. In this vector space. Yes. No, my time runs upward. Yeah. Okay, and I choose some out states. W tensor W prime and in V dual tensor V dual. Okay, and then what is the amplitude? It should be a number. And it should be given by this map. So I can use this map to send these to some U tensor U prime. And then I just act these dual states on this. So the amplitude is given by W of U times W prime of U prime. So all this set of numbers for all sorts of two-dimensional geometries with holes inside them and any number of boundaries you want define a two-dimensional topological field theory for you. And of course, there must be some consistency conditions on these numbers. Not any arbitrary number will define a two-dimensional theory. So in all of this mess, let me try to give you what sort of necessary data do I need, or sufficient data do I need, some sort of transition amplitude, sufficient number of transition amplitudes, from which I can construct all of the other transition amplitudes if I'm given some consistency conditions on them. Okay. So before doing that, let me tell you what sort of conditions these transition amplitudes have to satisfy. So first of all, if I have a cylinder, then it's a map from V to V. And this is just the Hamiltonian evolution. Hamiltonian is zero, and this map must be equal to identity. Okay. Suppose I have a manifold with a single boundary, like this. Then what do I have? I have a map from C here, an empty boundary to a boundary V. And this is some vector associated to this manifold sigma. So this can be thought of as the state produced by this geometry. And this is the reason why we are using C over here. Okay. Now if I have an oppositely oriented manifold, something, then I have a map from V to C. And this can be thought of as some W sigma prime in V dual. So this manifold produces a bra because the orientation of the circle is opposite to this circle. And finally, we can glue these two together. So I can make a manifold by gluing them, something like this. Then we call it sigma double prime. Then the partition function of this manifold is just given by contracting this with this. So, and this is a map from C to C, which is the partition function. This equals W sigma prime of V sigma. Okay. So now let me tell you a list of sufficient transition amplitudes I need for a two-dimensional TFT, and what condition do they need to satisfy. So this is a set of sufficient data for these transition amplitudes. First of all, I need a multiplication. So you see, this commutative Frobenius algebra will just be this vector space. So this will have a multiplication structure on it, a co-multiplication structure on it, and some other structures which are compatible with each other in some certain way. So the multiplication structure is given by a geometry like this. So this is a map from V tensor V to V. Let me call it M. The invert map is, so this is a co-multiplication. This is a map from V to V tensor V. Let me call it C. And then I need a bowl and a cap. So first of all, a cap. This is a map from V to C. It's a trace on this vector space. And then finally a bowl, which is a map from C to V, which chooses a particular vector in this vector space. So let me call that vector U. This is the image of this map. Okay. So I claim that this is the sufficient data of transition amplitudes to describe all transition amplitudes satisfying these gluing conditions. Because you see, it's non-trivial. I built this manifold by cutting it along here into these two pieces, but I could have cut it like some other way. I had chose three, I should have chosen four. So I could have cut it like this or like this with two, three holes and one hole. Okay. So let me tell you the consistency conditions very quickly. So I claim that this thing should be equal to the cylinder, because I can just topologically deform it. So this implies that trace composed with the co-multiplication should be one. Similarly, I have some other conditions. This should be equal to this, and I can write down an equation for it. I can have other things. This is equal to this. So I change the order in which I take the product. This will tell me that my algebra is associative. So you see, you first take a product of these two guys. In this picture, you take a product of these two guys. And so on. So there will be some other conditions. So finally, I will get an associative commutative algebra. And then I need one final condition, which will make it Frobenius. So let me just tell you what that means in diagrams. That these are equal. These are just coming from topological invariance, all these conditions. And the claim is that they define a topological field theory. So those conditions, so a vector space with all of these actions on, all of these structures on it, satisfying these conditions is called a commutative Frobenius algebra. And the claim, which I did not prove, is that this is sufficient. So in this way, we can study a 1 plus 1 dimensional gap phase of matter. This is the defining data of a 1 plus 1 dimensional gap phase of matter. Now, there are various extensions of this you can do. So if you have anions in a system, there will become some topological line defects in the theory. So these are some lines which can be moved around. They can go around each other. They can do braiding and all sorts of things. And there will be some consistency conditions on them. So in this way, we can use a lot of mathematical structures to define our gap phase of matter or classify them. So that was my talk.
But feel free to ask if you want to help me.
Or the projector will take a second to warm up.
Okay, so then we have time.
No, there was no symmetry over here. These are topological
order. But I thought in 1 plus 1 there are.
Sorry.
There are no, there are no interesting topological order. Only FTP phases.
Yeah, so they will, by the Artin-Wedderman theorem, this algebra can be written as a direct sum of the algebras.
Yes.
So I'm just.
What is a non-trivial example? What is something that's non-trivial, right? Some actual examples.